first one on the list is Proximity. This one was pretty good.
Yeah, we actually, I hadn't heard anything about this one, and we just, like, saw it when we were scrolling through the new releases on the Xbox rental thing. And it looked like we watched the trailer. This is, interestingly, one of the few movies that I've seen where the movie was actually much better than the trailer led me to believe. I mean, the trailer looked like a good, interesting movie, but the trailer almost made it look more like a drama about somebody who may or may not have been abducted by aliens. But then when you watch the actual movie, it's like some of it is like that. But on the whole, it's actually like kind of a fun 80s throwback, like sci-fi adventure that has like a lot of action or elements to it. It had like
lots of Lucas elements.
Yeah, it was very, very George Lucas-y, which I didn't really get the sense of that from the trailer. So I was actually really pleasantly surprised, like, when I watched it. Like, it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah, it was, like, it was basically Star Wars, THX 1138. It had, like, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, very much like that.
It had, like a Williams-style classical score to it. It sounded straight out of fucking
Star Wars or Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah, Dagobah and shit. Yeah. Like, the Dagobah shit scenes. And then it would break out into like rock music and electronic music and stuff. So it was a weird mixture of like classic and contemporary music.
Yeah, a little bit of classical in there too, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it was neat. You know, it was kind of like, it's about alien abduction. It's about psychic abilities. It kind of ties in with kind of like the Force. It's kind of like cosmic spirituality. Has like kind of some of the questions that kind of came from the Prometheus series, you know, about, you know, are the Earth's religions somehow tied in with aliens? Had all that kind of motifs in it. It was good. I liked it.
I want to say it had like a little bit, because at one point it even had like some Men in Black conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had like a little bit of a Romancing the Stone kind of vibe, like sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's, you could tell that the person that made this, Eric DeMusi, who directed it, I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is his directorial debut. He's actually a special effects artist. So I guess this is the first movie that he directed. And even though, I don't know, like maybe from the description, it sounds like it would be kind of all over the place, but it wasn't really like that. Like, it did kind of go off tonally in a lot of directions, because like the first half of it is basically, I mean, the main character is named Isaac Cypress, and he's like a, you know, like a computer guy, like at, you know, what does he do? He's like some kind of like a number analyst or something like that at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So he's like a, you know, math whiz. He's like a big genius and everything. And at one point he's like out with his camera, he's out hiking or something like that. And he ostensibly gets kidnapped by aliens and he gets it on film. So the first half of the movie is almost kind of like this really fascinating look into, you know, even if you have footage of getting, you know, abducted and you have footage of the alien and everything like that, how everybody just thinks it's fake. And it's like, and him trying to like connect to people and like insist that he's telling the truth. So that was like really interesting too. And, but then it kind of, about halfway through the movie, it kind of goes off in a different direction and becomes more of like you said, like a THX 1138 or like Romancing the Stone or like Men in Black or something like that. It kind of goes off in that, like, kind of a more fun action oriented.
Yeah. There are these androids, they're kind of like something out of THX 1138.
Yeah.
They even use the exact same motorcycles from THX.
Yeah, it was obviously an homage.
Yeah,
to that.
I mean, they were RD-350s with full fairings on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on. That's what the robots from THX had. But they're whites, and they're kind of like stormtroopers, but they're androids. It's quite cool, you know, and they can't shoot either.
Yeah.
It's just like Star Wars fucking gunfight scenes.
Yeah, like you know, can tell.
Running around in a Death Star with fucking Princess Leia and shit, shooting, you know, having to shoot out with the white robots. It's cool.
Yeah, you can tell that the person that made this is really, really into like 80s.
Into Lucas.
Lucas films and like those
Spielberg.
Kind of like, you know, thrillers and adventure movies like that came out in the 80s, because it's homaging like a lot of that stuff, but not in a really like obnoxious way or anything. This was actually, I ended up really, really liking this, like I said, a lot more than I was expecting it to. I was kind of expecting something more like close encounters, like more like the whole thing was going to be a drama, because that's kind of like what the trailer was like. It kind of portrayed it as a drama.
Yeah, but and he knows it was like close encounters. He's giving you that vibe. He's playing games with you. It was good, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was a very deliberate homage to all of
those. Spielberg Lucas. This is Spielbergian, Lucasian stuff. He knows the game that he's playing.
And I mean, the score of it was very obviously...
Oh, obviously, I mean, Star Wars.
It wouldn't shock me. Yeah. Like, if somebody told me, hey, John Williams did that score, I would not be in the least bit surprised.
But then it breaks into rock music or fucking some kind of industrial music or whatever, you know?
Or classical. There's some new retro wave kind of stuff in there, too. So. But it's like, this was actually a really lot of fun. And for one that we just kind of...
saw it randomly
and watched randomly because the trailer looked decent.
It was new. It was suggested as a new movie on Xbox.
Yeah.
So we saw it off of Xbox. I think we rented it for like $5. Yeah. And, you know, good movie, man. Fun for the whole family. I think young people and old people understand it, I think, more than young people, although young people would dig it. You know, I think what I did like about it is that I wouldn't call this like a modern movie. A modern movie had a bunch of tricky shit in it and kind of like, you know, weird ulterior motives. This is just, they're just kind of playing it straight. The movie's actually about spirituality. It's very, you know, if you're into cosmic spirituality, you know, and religion, you'll like the movie.
Another one that was like, and I think you mentioned this to me earlier, was Cocoon.
Kind of like
a little bit of a Cocoon vibe as well. I have to say, this was directed by, you know, a special effects person. So the special effects were very good, especially like the alien spacecraft and like the aliens themselves looked really cool. And, you know, it was just really, really cool. It's like I said, there was kind of something in it for everybody. It went off in a bunch of different directions, but not in a way that was like super chaotic or anything like that. It was just... to me, it seemed like a pretty organic...
Yeah. I bet this dude could have directed Star Wars better than the other...
Well, maybe.
You know, I'd have put him on, you know, instead of Rian Johnson, I think this guy here. Actually, the dude who did Force Awakens, what's his name?
J.J. Abrams.
I think this guy was more... would understand Lucas and Star Wars better than J.J. Abrams even.
Yeah, because this is a very Lucasian...
He understands what it is. Right.
This was a very Lucasian film, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, this is, you know, a really fun, family-oriented sci-fi movie. It's got some adventure in it, it's got some drama in it, it's got some cool special effects, got some cool music. You know, so...
They had to put this guy on The Mandalorian, have him do some Mandalorian episodes.
Yeah, I wonder if he has. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure. I know he started out as a special effects artist, and this is, I think this might be his first movie. But that's kind of, like, all I know about him. But yeah, so if you like sci-fi and you like that kind of, like, 80s throwback type of stuff, you will probably enjoy this as well. So, like, check it out.
Okay, Samurai Marathon. We rented this one just kind of like on a whim. It looked pretty good in the trailers. We watched it, and it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was it's like an American movie, wasn't it? Wasn't it like half American and half Japanese?
Yeah, because it was directed by Bernard Rose, who I'm not sure if he's an American or he might be a Brit. But he directed the original Candyman. He did Immortal Beloved, if you remember that one with Gary. Right. I think Gary Oldman was in that.
Yeah.
So he directed that. And it's weird because of just like Candyman, this also had a score by Philip Glass, which is actually quite lovely.
Yeah.
This is sort of based on, I guess it's based on a real event, which I had never actually heard of.
Yeah, it had to do with during the time in Japan where fucking Commodore Oliver Perry kind of forced his way into Japan to get them to open up and start trading with the United States. It caused a lot of problems inside of Japan, and one of the little side effects that it did is it caused the Japanese to actually do a marathon because they were getting soft.
They thought the samurai were getting soft.
The samurai,
like, whoever
were getting
was
soft.
Like in charge of the samurai.
Yeah.
This was in 1855 when the whole samurai thing was kind of on its way out. I mean, it was almost the end of the feudal period.
Samurai hadn't been at war for a long, long time, and you know, Japan was totally pacified. They just sat around reading books and drinking and shit. And, you know, they were bros. They were just samurai stuff, man. And then dude made a fucking run a marathon, and it caused a big confusion the Shogun thought it was an uprising or a rebellion.
Yeah.
And it caused a bunch of problems.
And then there were like spies inside this one clan that was doing the marathon that like, and they thought that it was going to be an attack. So they like said to the Shogun, hey, these guys are going to attack you. And then like, he had to go back and like intercept the message and all this other kind of shit. But it's basically, I mean, basically what the guy said to him, it was this one clan, right? Of the samurai and the Anaka clan, I think it was called. They still do the marathon to this day. So this is like the historical thing that it was based on. And he basically came out and said, you know, you're all a bunch of pussies. You've all gone soft, blah, blah. He's like, every samurai under the age of 50, tomorrow, you're going to run a 36-mile marathon.
Yeah.
Just so we can like, you know, see that you're still in shape or whatever.
Yeah. And samurais don't know how to run. They don't. Okay. They run in a stylized way, and there's even a name for it.
Yeah, they said it in the movie. I can't remember what it is.
And I've noticed this, you know, because I like samurai movies. I've watched a lot of them, you know, over the years, you know. And the Japanese people from that era just didn't know how to run. They couldn't put their feet out beyond a certain distance in front of them. So it was just a bunch of little short steps where the feet kicked up in the back, but they didn't go forward. There was a girl that was trying to teach him how to run. They were like, in the West, you have to actually take a whole step. And they were like, oh, no. They wouldn't do it. A lot of them.
Just, I was like, I didn't know if it was just like a stylized thing or if it was just because of the long skirts or what.
No, it's just they weren't raised running and they had a stylized way of running that didn't work. You know, it's just like little bitty steps and the feet could only go back. They couldn't go in front of your pelvis, which you'd think you'd have to step forward to run.
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
But they wouldn't step
like
forward.
That.
They just, and you can see it in the movie. You know,
and they even make reference to it in the movie because the girl's trying to get them to like run like a Western person.
Run like a Westerner.
Because she'd been to like Holland or something like that, and she wanted to like move to Holland or something or be a teacher or whatever the hell she wanted to do. So she was like up on the Western stuff, and she was a princess, I think. But she wanted to be in the marathon too, so she pretended she was a boy. Yeah. But so it's like this one, I think, more comedic. It's not, I don't want to say it's a comedy.
It's just got a lot of humor
in it. But it had a lot more humor in it than a samurai movie would normally have. Because, like, when they do the marathon, like, obviously, like, some of the guys that are, like, more out of shape are like, man, fuck this shit. Oh, my back. Oh, my gout. Oh, my this and that and the other. And then all the shit where, because if you won, the dude would give you, like, whatever you wanted. Like, you guys, so everybody wanted to win. Everybody, there's, like, all these little, like, they're, like, threatening to take one person out who's the fastest guy and break his legs. There's, like, one person who's, like, cheating. He had, like, a little, like, cab or something. Like, he would stash it and then, like, go around and stuff. He's pulling, like, a Rosie Ruiz. And
yeah,
then, like,
I've been watching a lot of samurai movies, you know, over the years, though. Samurai movies did have a lot of comedy.
That's true, yeah.
It was more than a Western.
Yeah.
And Westerns didn't have as much comedy. Like, you know, the samurai movie is a Japanese equivalent to a fucking cowboy movie.
Yeah.
And cowboy movies tended to not have a whole lot of humor in them. Samurai movies kind of had comedic relief in certain characters. There were a couple different kinds. A Kurosawa flick was almost kind of like psychedelic. Imagine if, like, William Shakespeare was on acid. It was kind of like that. Some of the shit, like a Zatoichi movie, had comedy in it. A lot of comedic, you know, clownish characters in them. But it was just, you know, so. But then there were other ones that were just really dry and deadpan. Everything totally stylized, and the people were like robots or zombies, and they spoke only in real stylized ways, which that may have been pretty close to the truth. If you know, witnesses. Western witnesses said that the Japanese people were very odd when they first found them. Everything was stylized and ritualized, every little detail of what they did. So it might have been pretty weird to see in you know, like gothed out as fuck, basically what you're talking about. You know? And they had to do things in a certain way, like, you know, there was a way to drink tea, you know, and there was a way to fucking come into a house, and there was a way to talk, there was a way to run, you know?
Yeah.
So, I would say in terms of the genre, no, that was pretty typical tone for the genre. The acting was good. Costumes really good. Story was pretty good. The premise of the movie was pretty interesting. Was it one of the best samurai movies I've seen? No. I like them a lot more violent than that.
Yeah, there was like there was some violence. It was like a couple beheadings and like people getting pushed off cliffs and shit like that. Like when the race started getting, you know, there was some battles and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was kind of mostly, I mean, it was mostly about the race and about like all the intrigue like surrounding the race and like all the misunderstandings about what was going on and about the Westerners coming and wanting to trade and stuff. So So I wouldn't really call it an action movie.
For me, I'm more like Lone Wolf and Cub. I like that kind of shit. Baby Cart to Hell.
Yeah.
All that weird stuff. You know what I mean? Where, I like that kind of samurai movie.
Yeah.
But
whereas this had elements of that, but it was more like a historical film.
More
drama,
like a historical film.
Because, like I said, it was based on like something that really happened.
Yeah.
You know, so even though there were moments of violence in it, like I said, there were fights and, you know, where there was like attacks and shit like that. And, you know, backstabbing with people trying to win the race. And, you know, killing off people that, like, you know, so they wouldn't win and shit. But,
it's a good movie.
It was good, yeah.
And it is new. It's up there. You can rent it off of Xbox. I'm sure there's other streaming services. I recommend it. But if you've never seen a samurai movie before, you really kind of want to see the Lone Wolf and Cub series. I don't know if you can stream it. There's three of them? Three of them or four of them?
Well, we have the set, don't we? I thought there was six of them.
Is there six
five
of them?
Five or six of them.
Yeah, I have to go back and look again. I haven't seen them in so long.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's
I got the Criterion Edition, which is beautiful. And I think it was nearly $100 for that.
It was, yeah. It was very
for that. For that and, but it had a whole bunch of photographs and booklets in it. Looks like it came out of damn feudal Japan, the box and shit. You might be able to stream that. You want to see the Lone Wolf and Cub series, which is based on a manga or a comic book. And it's fucking bizarre, but it's action-packed. And you'll have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah.
I recommend that one first for your first samurai movie. This is a little more serious, I would say.
Yeah, it has humor in it, but it's more of, like I said, it's more of a drama. It's not really an action movie in the sense that there's like sword fights every 5 minutes. It's not really like that.
No,
it's a lot of palace intrigue.
Yeah, actually though, I'd have to say after you see Lone Wolf and Cub, his older brother, the guy who stars in that movie, is Katsushin or Shintaro Katsu. The Japanese call him Katsushin, and he was Zatoichi, and that was a long running series. You want to see a couple Zatoichi movies.
Yeah, there was a shit ton of those.
Yeah,
what was it, like 26 of them?
Yeah.
I want to say it was 20 something.
He was about a blind yakuza who pretended to be a masseur, but his cane in there, he had in there was a hidden sword. And he was, you know, fighting corrupt samurai and fighting ninja and fighting bad guys and
Standing up for the little guy,
and he's blind, and that's the one you want. That's I'd rather.
Yeah, I like a lot of the Zatoichi.
Those are better.
I haven't seen all of them because there's so many, but I have seen it. Like,
there's been some Zatoichi reboots, with new people. They're all in color, and it's like I think that was like in the 2000s.
Yeah,
you don't fuck with that. You want to see the old Zatoichi movies from the 60s.
Well, I mean, that guy is Zatoichi.
Yeah, Shintaro Katsu is fucking Zatoichi.
I mean, that's
he made that character.
Yeah.
It's like, just like Leonard Nimoy made fucking Spock. You want to see Katsushin, man.
Yeah.
Shintaro Katsu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you like samurai movies and you like historical period dramas, then I imagine then you'll probably
you'd
like this
one.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's beautifully shot. Like I said, you know, Bernard Rose is a really good director, and I've liked all his other movies. Really nice score. Like I said, Philip Glass did it just like he did the original Candyman. So yeah, it's streaming. We rent it on Xbox. I'm sure you can stream it other places.
Okay, we saw Bloodshot.
Finally
saw Bloodshot. They wanted $19.99 for that.
We were waiting for the price to go down. Because it only played in the theater, because I remember seeing like the fucking previews for it back when the theaters were still open. And it only played in the theater for 2 weeks, and then everything got shut down and everything like that. So then they just moved it to streaming.
That never started playing in the theater.
It did, yeah. It was in the theater for a week or maybe 2 weeks.
I just remember seeing like the signs for it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see it when we had when we had AMC open.
Yeah, it was released.
I don't think it ever opened.
It did. It was released March 13th.
Okay.
And then it played for 2 weeks. I think it played until the 24th, and then they like sent it to streaming.
Okay.
But yeah, because for a while we wanted to see it, but you know, because it looked pretty decent, but then, you know, they kept wanting $20 to rent it, and I'm like, well, let's wait until the price goes down.
Yeah, it finally went down, I think, $5.
It was $5.99.
$5.99, yeah. In all formats, SD, HD, and then like
Ultra
4K.
HD, yeah.
And so we saw it in HD, and it was good.
It was not bad, actually. It
was good. I really liked the Riddick series. I thought Riddick was a fucking very Vin Diesel-y type fucking series, and I liked it. And then this one came out and watched it, and it was just Vin Diesel-y as shit, man. Fucking, it was good. It was all right.
Even though he wasn't originally the guy that they wanted in the main character, it was supposed to be Jared Leto.
Yeah.
But this is based on the Valiant comics, comic book Bloodshot. This was apparently supposed to be the first. They want to do like a Valiant comics cinematic universe. There's another one called Harbinger that they want to do, and they want to do a crossover. I think originally they were going to do Harbinger first, but then they decided to do this one first.
Is that the one that's got the Morbius guy, like a vampire?
No, that's Marvel.
That's
or
Marvel?
DC, okay. Or I can't remember who that is. All right, this is a whole different. This is a whole different comics company. This was Sony Pictures, but they got the rights to it, and I think Paramount's going to do Harbinger if they still do it. The sad thing about this is that this movie, I think it cost $45 million to make. And it was only out in the theater for a couple of weeks. And I think so far it's only made like $30 million back, like from streaming and everything, even though it's like the top streamed movie, like on Amazon Prime and all those other things. So, you know, it will remain to be seen like how much money it's going to make overall.
Yeah, but the world's changed, though. That shit will be up there streaming for fucking ever. It's not like it was back in the day where it's got to make a certain amount of money within a certain amount of time, or it's pulled from theaters.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. That thing, people aren't in a hurry. It'll sit up there and make money for months and months and months and months.
Well, probably a lot of people were doing like we were doing, waiting for it to come down. From like $20.
Yeah, and then they'll release it for sale on Blu-ray. Guys will buy fucking Blu-ray copies. I think the movie will do well. Last I heard, it was making good money.
Yeah.
On streaming.
Well, so, like I said, it was the number one streaming movie.
Okay.
Or at least in like the top five. It's just it hasn't made like its budget money back, not yet.
It probably will.
Yeah.
It's because I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah.
So now that it's only $5.99, you'll probably get some better word of mouth.
That's what I'm thinking, because I think it just went down like in the last couple of days. So basically, if you've read the comic book, the weird thing about it, and you said this too, it's like when it first started.
Yeah.
Like, the first 5 minutes of it...
I'm going, what?
We were kind of, like, not feeling it.
I was waiting. Jenny can attest. I said this shit at the time. I was waiting for my boy to fuck... I was waiting for Sensei to step out.
Steven Seagal.
At any moment. I thought Steven Seagal was going to
come
and go.
It slightly like that. Yeah, yeah. He'd come waddling into the shot.
Yeah. It just looked very kind of... generic, we're somewhere in a Middle Eastern city fighting these kind of generic, you know, Muslim-y bad guys. You know what I mean?
Muslim-y,
yeah. Never really said that's what they were. It was just everything was kind of... Were they in Afghanistan? No, they shot this in Mumbai.
They were in India. They shot this in South Africa, though, I have to say.
But the thing is like... So I wasn't impressed that first 4 or 5 minutes. But then he gets killed and he wakes up and he's got all these nanites in him. And then the story gets better very quickly. And it gets a lot more colorful very quickly. Like the color palette changed.
That one scene where they were inside the tunnel with like the truck and everything like that. That was super cool. Like with the flares and like the blue police lights and stuff. That was like super cool looking.
And the effects were good. The action was good. The tempo of the story was good. They were controlling his mind. His memory was all fucked up. They could reprogram his memory. He basically was a big pile of nanites with just some flesh, really. And they were constantly rebuilding him every time he got shot. So he could do... He ended up being very similar to like the Terminator out of the T2. The liquid metal Terminator. It's kind of like that. But flesh.
Because he could
flesh and liquid metal.
I think the only difference was that his nanites had to be recharged periodically. So like if they went down to zero, like if his health went down to zero
he could die.
Then he could they'd have to they'd bring him back and shit. But yeah, so Guy Pearce is in this shit.
Yeah.
Playing another role like he played in the fucking...
Yeah. He
always plays these characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically it's because I don't think this is really spoiling anything, because they basically said in the trailer that... You know, Vin Diesel gets killed, like, in the first 10 minutes of the movie, along with his wife, ostensibly. And then he gets brought back by this kind of high-tech
shadowy organization.
Shadowy military organization.
It's like a corporation.
Who, you know, they have nanite technology. And he's like the first person that they've actually fully brought back from the dead. Like, there's a bunch of other people there that have other modifications and enhancements. But he's the first person that they've fully brought back from the dead. And as the story goes on, you find out that some of the shit that happened at the beginning of the movie maybe wasn't exactly how it happened. And then there's like some kind of like shady shit going on with like who some of these people were and like how some of the people are alive and some of the people are dead. You don't really know. So I do feel like it takes a little bit to get where it's going. Like, you know what I mean? But once Vin Diesel gets killed and then the fun sci-fi part starts, it was actually a lot more enjoyable.
It's an enjoyable movie. It is not deep or by any, you know, it's not deep. It's not very complicated. There are twists and stuff. It's just a fun movie. You know, they're trying to compete with the Marvel universe and give you, you know, a slightly different experience, which I think it succeeded at that. Like, I would watch another one. I'd watch this one again.
Yeah, this is a very interesting, universe that they could expand out.
Good effects, cool shit happened.
Yeah, I really like all the nanite effects, when he gets hurt and like has them come sucking back into his body. And,
The only downside is that with these movies, and this goes for all these movies like this, they're so effects heavy that you almost become immune to all the imagery. It doesn't matter what they show you. You're just like, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. It doesn't, it almost overloads your system.
Yeah.
To where it ceases to impress you anymore. You just take it for granted that you're seeing this fucking badass shit.
Well, that's kind of what happened to me with the Marvel movies. Yeah. I mean, they're good movies, but you get to a point. And the sad thing about it is that at this point, I think like that ship is probably sailed because everybody knows how good CGI can be.
Yeah.
And they can essentially put anything up on just anything.
Right.
And I think everybody knows that now.
It's almost like that shit needs to wear off by now.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to stop seeing. Stop. I don't want to see things anymore. I don't want to see things anymore.
Just for a while. So then after a while, you can appreciate it again.
Right. Yeah.
Like how cool it looks.
Yeah. I don't want to see things anymore. Just do some shit. Show me some stuff. I don't know.
But yeah,
I can't describe it. But I think you know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I still get impressed with like when shit is done practically.
That's what impresses me.
Like in Mad Max Fury Road, for example, or like some horror movies that have done
some of the Bond films,
like some fucked up practical effects or stunts or anything. That is actually a lot more impressive to me than CGI is, because CGI it's just like somebody sitting at a computer going like ta-da.
Yeah, I had a feeling that this was kind of a mixture of the two. I think some of the vehicle wrecks were real, but there was some CGI over it. So it is what it is. It's a Marvel type movie.
Yeah,
and I think
it's a comic book style movie. Yeah. Not quite as comic booky. It's a little more realistic.
Yeah.
Than the Marvel
movie. Vin Diesel actually acted in this. There was a scene.
He did. I saw it.
Yeah, you saw it. There was a scene where he was trying to get back with his girlfriend, and I believed him.
Yeah.
I believed that he was heartbroken.
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
what I mean. I saw it.
You saw it, and I said, "Jim, did you see it?" He acted. Because normally Vin Diesel's just playing Vin Diesel. He's just being as diesel-y as he can possibly be, you know. Which he did a good job. But he was actually acting. So, you know. And it was kind of like when Arnold actually acts. You go, damn, Arnold fucking acted.
Yeah, it's like, it's just funny to see them. Because I guess it's different than like other big muscle guys like The Rock, who is actually like really charismatic. And he's so he always acting. And he's always, because he seems like a regular dude. But people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vin Diesel, and stuff like that, their whole thing is like being big, muscly, like stoic dudes.
Yeah.
And you don't usually see them show much emotion.
They're always that same character. They're always kind
that
of playing.
Too.
They're always playing Arnold or just playing Vin.
Yeah.
You know? Which, that works for me. I mean, I can understand it. You know, I'll watch an Arnold movie to see Arnie. I watch a Vin Diesel movie to see Vin Diesel.
I think most people do.
And you know what I mean? And like I said, I love the Riddick series. I thought that was fucking badass. I thought he was great in it. This movie here, I'm almost tempted to say that this might be his best movie.
It might be. I haven't seen like a shit ton of his movies.
Yeah. He's not as big as I remembered him. Did he get a little bit smaller?
I don't remember.
It doesn't really matter. I'm not, you know, I'm not being sizist. You know, I'm judging a man for his size. He wasn't as big as I remembered him, but he still looked good. He was in good shape.
Yeah.
He's in good shape. But I think this might be his best movie. Some people will go, well, of course, the special effects were superior. I'm not even talking about the special effects.
Yeah.
Just talking about the acting and the story and just the overall tone and cadence of the movie. I think the Riddick movies are hard to beat. I mean they're just kind of, for me, they're classics, but
yeah,
this might be his best movie. When I got done watching the movie, I did not have the feeling that I was watching the last Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sometimes you get the feeling like, oh, that didn't work. I ain't gonna see that dude again. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I got the feeling of like, oh, I'll probably see another one of these.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's what they've actually, as far as I know, I don't know if this is going to fall through or not, but they had contractually, they were going to do 5 movies in this like Valiant Comics universe. They were going to do like a expanded universe type thing like Marvel.
Even if AMC goes under and theaters don't really come back in big numbers, they'll just adjust the budget and adjust the way that
just
they make
smaller budget.
Send
them to streaming.
It'll be just like what Netflix does. You don't need to fucking put $100 million in a fucking movie. That's all bloat and fucking people paying their buddies and shit and fucking money laundering.
Well, and a lot of it too is trying to get like big name actors, you know, and their huge salaries.
You
only need one, and maybe this will give like smaller actors or like, you know, lesser known actors like to get a chance in there because, you know, they're more affordable than like some of the other ones.
And you just make movies that are just more economically efficient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you'll see more of these. I think this one was an artistic success, and I think it did what I think Bloodshot did. What they wanted it to do. It was the movie that they wanted.
Yeah.
I believe this, you know what I mean? I believe they walked away happy from this when it was done.
Yeah.
I think it will make money over time.
I mean, this was this guy's first directing job, David S.F. Wilson. The writer on it was actually the same writer as Fantasy Island. So if that tells you anything, Jeff Wadlow. Yeah.
But you know what? Fantasy Island got panned, but me and Jenny liked it. It was an entertaining movie to watch.
It was, yeah, it was all right.
It's just that you just watched it. You watched that shit on A-List and you went to AMC and you watched it. That shit just fucking laughed at it.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was just fun.
It wasn't terrible. It's just, you know, but some parts I liked better than others. I have to say about Bloodshot, though, the guy that stole the movie was the dude that played the scientist at the end, Wilford Wiggins.
Yeah.
That dude was a riot.
Yeah.
I loved that guy. I would watch a whole movie about that guy.
Everybody in the movie did a good job.
Yeah, but he was my favorite.
Yeah,
because he was just like the funniest, and he didn't even come into it until like the end. And I was like, I'm kind of hoping if they do an expanded universe, like they'll do a movie about him, or he'll be like in other ones, because he was fucking great. But yeah, this is like a completely decent movie. And like I said, I'm not sure about other streaming platforms, but on the Xbox, it just went down to $6 for. High definition and 4K.
Yeah, I think now's the time it's going to start making its money.
So yeah, if you want to check it out, now's the time to do it because it just went down cheaper. So check it out.